good morning. I want to apologize again for the technical difficulties, the disruption in the news headlines there. We're having a little bit of trouble with our computers, but our IT people are working on it. In the meantime, let's get back to the idea of privilege.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
That, of course, John F. Kennedy's famous call to action during his inaugural address back in 1960. And that statement seems to imply that Americans already have something, simply by virtue of their nationality, that being American is something we can all be grateful for and that we have a responsibility to give back in exchange. For Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, that means paying taxes.
If you don't ask the, you know, the most fortunate Americans to bear a slightly larger burden of the privilege of being an American, then you have to, the only way to achieve fiscal sustainability is through unacceptably deep cuts.
But giving back doesn't have to be codified in the 1040 EZ form. Geithner's comments bring two questions to mind. First, is he right? Is it a privilege to be an American? And if so, what is the burden that he's talking about that comes with that? Joining us now, Roger Smith, Professor of Political Science at the University of Pennsylvania, and Diane Furchtroth, Senior Fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Thanks both for joining us.
It's great to be with you. It's such an honor to be on your show.
I'm so glad that you're with us. And let me begin with you, Diana, and ask you those two questions. Is Timothy Geithner correct? Is being American a privilege?
Being an American is an incredible privilege. I'm an immigrant from England. I got my citizenship in 1987, and I can tell you it is such a privilege being an American and being able to take advantage of simple things that my fellow citizens don't even appreciate. For example, getting in a big car, having a hot, high-pressure shower, being able to drive to the grocery store, buying a week's worth of groceries and putting them in a large American refrigerator. These sound normal to all my neighbors, but it's really, for the most part, mostly Americans who can enjoy these simple pleasures.
And if so, he talked about the burden of the privilege of being an American. Is there a burden that accompanies that privilege?
Well, the top 1% of income earners already pay 38% of the federal individual income tax. The top 50% of income earners pay about 50% or about 53% of the income tax. So already upper earners pay in a higher proportion, and Tim Geithner's calling for increasing income taxes still further. I would say that will reduce growth, especially for small businesses, and that the upper income earners are already paying more for the privilege of being an American.
All right, that's Diane Furchtroth, Senior Fellow at the Manhattan Institute, and Roger Smith is with us from the University of Pennsylvania. Let me go back to that original question. Do you agree that being an American is a privilege?
Yes, absolutely. Unlike Diane, I was born in America, and therefore I have a right to citizenship, but I also feel extraordinarily fortunate to have been born into a society with a great educational system, with a great economy that affords a range of opportunities that are just not available if I were born in another country in the world. And therefore, all Americans are fortunate. They have the privilege of being part of a society that provides greater resources and opportunities than can be found in most other parts of the world.
But you can understand how someone who's very, very poor, maybe someone who's homeless, someone who perhaps doesn't feel like their children is getting a great education, may not feel that privilege in the same way that the rest of us do.
That's absolutely true. I think all Americans are privileged to be a part of a society with such great resources and opportunities, but they are not equally distributed. Some of us are vastly more fortunate than others, and it is a longstanding American tradition that those who are more fortunate, who benefit more from all those educational and economic resources that none of us individually created, but that we get to participate in as Americans, those of us who are more fortunate have also a greater obligation to bear the burdens of maintaining and improving the society, and that's why we've always had progressive income taxes.
As well, and Diana, let's talk about progressive income taxes. You're talking about this just straight proportion that the high income earners pay.
Right.
But
yes,
when you take that down to the proportion of their incomes, it's not quite as equal. And certainly the amount of wealth in the United States is all focused on a very small percentage. Perhaps a tax reform could help spread that wealth a little bit more equally. What do you think?
Actually, I erred when I told you earlier that the top 50% of earners paid 53% of the tax. It's 97% of the individual income tax. So where you find that, and in general, the proportion of tax paid does go up as you earn more. The difference is taxes on capital, where they're 15% rather than the top rate of 35%. And that's because this income from capital gains and dividends, has already been taxed once at the corporate level before it goes to the individual level. So I would say, yes, the wealthy are paying their fair share. But as to the question of the poor, whether they are also privileged, we find poor people coming from all over the world. Many, many immigrants wait years to come to the United States. So they obviously see that when they come here, it will be a step up from where they have been before. But one thing we really need to do is correct and improve our educational system so that people in the poorest neighborhoods are not stuck in the poor schools, but have opportunities to get a good education and a good job and rise in income also. And we need to get lower performing students, get them into community colleges, get them a 2-year degree or a credential in a high return field such as nursing or computer programming, where my research has shown that after 2 years, they can be earning $45,000 a year. We really need to improve our educational system for the lowest income people stuck in these poor inner city schools.
That's Diana Firth-Goodrost, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Also with us, Roger Smith, professor of political science at the University of Pennsylvania. Stick around. We're going to continue this conversation in just a moment. If you have a comment, we'd love to hear from you on whether you think being American is a privilege, if that's a privilege that's shared by all Americans, regardless of income. And with that privilege, what is the burden that we all share as well? 877-8-MY-TAKE or thetakeaway.org. And now let's take a look at our headlines this morning. It's a quarter past the hour. Iranians are voting for a new parliament today. Speaking through a translator, Iran's interior minister, Mustafa Mohammad Najjar, says he's encouraged by how many people are coming out to vote. That poll is the first since controversial presidential elections held in Iran 3 years ago. The opposition Green Movement is not taking part in the elections. Here in the U.S. at Chardon High School in Ohio, their students are heading back to school. This will be the first day back since a teenage gunman killed 3 students on Monday. More violent weather forecast for some southern and midwestern states, still recovering from a massive tornado outbreak earlier this week. And 13 people were killed during that outbreak. Neighborhoods flattened as well. Still no real good damage estimate on exactly how much damage the tornadoes cost. You're listening to The Takeaway. You can always reach us at 877-8 My Take. Coming up, we continue our conversation about the comment from Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner. He says it's a privilege to be an American. And more, he talked about the burden of that privilege. We want to talk more about this in just a moment, but do you think it's a privilege to be an American? A listener in New Mexico sent us this text. It is a privilege. However, I don't feel obligated to give back. I want to give back, which is why I serve. It's an interesting distinction between being obligated by duty to give back to the United States and wanting to do one. What do you think? Are there privileges and how much are you willing to pay for them? We're going to talk about that in just a moment, and Todd Zwillick will join us to talk about the 3 states which you should be watching in the run-up to the presidential election. Talking about this question of American privilege and what exactly that privilege means in our day-to-day lives. And let me repeat again exactly the wording that Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner used last week. He talked about the larger burden of the privilege of being an American. And we're wondering your thoughts on it. A listener in New York sent us this text to say, it is a privilege to be an American. The good fortune of those in the USA is something that should never be overlooked. Remember our natural resources. Remember those who've worked to create our society. Remember those who've died to protect it. To pay tribute to them, we have an obligation to give back. And rejoining a conversation, we have Roger Smith with us, professor of political science at the University of Pennsylvania, and Dana Furchgott-Roth, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Thanks for staying with us, guys.
It's great to be with you today.
So, Rogers, let's go back to what Diana was talking about, in which she was talking about saying that there are things that we need to get better at in terms of spreading the benefits of privilege around us. She's talked specifically about education. Are there other things that I guess the income of an American changes in terms of their American experience? I mean, is there an income standard? You only experience the privilege of being American once you get above the poverty level. Is that the case?
I think that there are advantages to being in America, even for the poor, as Diana indicated, but it's also true that lots of people are not doing well in America, and that we need to invest in our educational system, especially in the inner cities. We need to strengthen the infrastructure that provides economic opportunities. And where I disagree with Diana is that the reality is that we are having wealthier Americans pay less in their income tax rates, and we have low capital gains tax rates compared to history, where those rates have gone up and down historically. They were highest during the Eisenhower years and the World War II period. They went down under Republican administrations from Reagan. They went slightly up under Clinton and then back down again. And we have seen that we've had some of our greatest periods of prosperity when we've had higher tax rates for richer Americans, and we've used that to invest in education and infrastructure. And I think we're at a time we need to do that again.
All right. Well, I want to, again, we'll put this call out to our listeners and get your thoughts as well. A listener in Michigan says, I'd be a bit happier to pay my taxes if I knew my multimillionaire boss was paying a higher effective tax than I am. And that's kind of coming off of some of the recent studies we've had. I'm going to give you some of the statistics from the Congressional Budget Office. They said that the top earning 1% of households gained about 275% over the period between 1979 and 2007. In fact, the top 400 earners in the U.S. saw their income increase almost 400% and their average tax rate reduced by 37% over that same period. So, Diana, are you saying that at this point we don't have income inequality? We don't have to address income inequality in the U.S.?
Well, I did not say that. I just said that the top 50% paid 97% of the taxes. The top few percent pay 38% of the taxes. But if you are asking me if income inequality is a problem, I would say no. I've looked at the data. Most people in the top fifth of the income distribution are married with two incomes. Most people in the bottom income distribution have half an earner per household. And what we need to do is have more income mobility between these different income groups. It's not the problem we have with income inequality, because unless we're going to make a rule that we can only have one earner per household, we find we're going to have a lot of income inequality. Basically, the people in the top quintile are married couples with two earners. And the reason we've had more income inequality since the 1980s is because more women have moved into the workforce. They are getting education. They're becoming nurses, police officers, doctors, lawyers. They are marrying people in similar positions, and the two income earners trump one income earner.
That's Diana Furchgott-Roth, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Roger Smith, do you agree income inequality isn't the problem?
income inequality per se isn't a problem. The question is whether we have policies that are making sure that the incomes that Americans generate are being fairly used to benefit all Americans. And I have to disagree that marriage patterns alone are the chief factor in modern income inequality. The shifts in tax rates and other policies that have benefited the super wealthy are major contributors to the heightened inequality, and they mean that the best off are not contributing to the public costs of providing opportunities for all Americans to the degree that they have in the past. And unfortunately, the tax cuts of the Bush administration have been led into a period of economic recession, whereas the somewhat higher tax rates of the Clinton years were part of a period of prosperity. The notion that the tax cuts we've had for the various wealthy have helped the economy as a whole just isn't borne out in experience.
But on the other hand, Rogers, talking about giving back in exchange for a privilege doesn't necessarily have to be about taxes, right? I mean, there's lots of ways to give back to the country as an American.
That's true, and we do have great philanthropic traditions, but it's pretty clear now that we're at a point in our history where private sector initiatives alone are not going to turn around the educational and economic problems that we have.
Roger Smith, professor of political science at the University of Pennsylvania, and Diana Furchgott-Roth, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Thank you so much. We want to continue this conversation throughout the day. Again, Timothy Geithner last week said this. He was talking about taxes as well, but he used this phrase, the burden of the privilege of being an American. That's what caught our attention, and we hope that you'll continue this conversation with us. Is it a privilege to be an American? And if so, what is the burden that goes along with that? Are we obligated to give back? Even if it's not, we're not talking about taxes, are there other ways in which we need to pay back against the privilege that we've been given? Give us your thoughts at 877-8-MY-TAKE.